And welcome to the second season of Seniors in the Building. We are four friends exploring aspects of aging together. Our conversations run the gamut from humorous to serious to maybe outrageous. We hope to hear from new voices this year as we invite guests into our conversations. Thanks for being with us. Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick.
Today, we wanted to talk about seniors and exercise. Coming up here in Manitoba is Active Aging Week. It's October 6th to the 12th. So it got us thinking about, because we're getting emails from the ReFit Center that we all belong to about all their activities, it got us thinking about seniors and exercising and why we do, why we don't, and how to maybe get started or how to keep going, all of those kinds of things. What is it about exercise that benefits seniors? What have we learned as we have gone on our own journeys of exercising and wellness? So I started in my own journey exercising when I was in my late 40s. I hit menopause and I was having a bit of a rough time, and I started running. And it was amazing. What I took a learn to run class. I'd never run in my life. And you started with just walking 4 minutes and running 15 seconds. And then you gradually increase the running and reduce the walking. And by the end, I could run a half an hour. And I moved that up to 45 minutes, which ended up being sort of my distance, which is about 5K. Mm-hmm. And it was odd because every time I tried to increase it to more, like 7K or 10K, something always happened. I got injured. So I decided to see a trainer and start to do work on muscles, because if I wasn't able to increase it, I needed to know why. So I saw a physical trainer for several years and had really a great experience doing that. Like everything, we moved and she had a baby, and she had a baby first and then we moved. So I never got back with Kimmy, who was quite amazing, actually. She really understood older people and their bodies, and I appreciated that. But at any rate, since that time, the last, I guess it would be last 20, 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 70, 30 years, I have continued to run off and on. I walk more than I run now. I still do weights. Mm-hmm. I still go back to some of the programs that she gave me. And I still try to maintain a level of fitness. Some years, some days, some weeks are harder than others. Mm-hmm. And I struggle sometimes to get to the gym. Mm-hmm.
But still try to keep up the routine and keep up the practice, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That all started all those many years ago when I...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my exercise sort of been part of my life ever since, regular exercise, since I've been in my 20s. Some of that started that in reaction to seeing contemporaries and also older adults who were really out of shape, and then suffering heart attacks and, I guess what you'd call premature death, which some very close to me, which kind of scared me. Mm-hmm. What I found over the years, though, is I've had to really adjust, because as I've gotten older, I used to run marathons. I cannot really run much anymore, if at all. I have an issue with one knee. But I found that's not as problematic as I thought it would be. I've been able to, take more low-impact kind of exercises, like working on an elliptical trainer, doing more weight training, and also reducing the amount of exercise I do, because overloading is really not good, as I found out. It creates more stress and it's detrimental. So there's a balance to be found. But it's always been sort of a part of my existence, I guess. And Elaine would say that if I don't exercise for a day or two, I get really antsy and grumpy. She says things like, why don't you go to the gym? Why don't you get out of the house? Like, in other words, get out of my hair.
Stop pacing. What I do. I pace.
That was a big thing that when the guys were young, right, they would say, you know, Dad's pacing a lot. He should get out of the house. And so we would do that. But I don't have, I don't think I've ever had an intentional program last very long. When I was 12, I fell off my horse and damaged the cartilage in my right knee.
Literally?
Fell off my horse.
Yeah, a horse, yeah.
Not metaphorically.
It's not a metaphor.
No.
It sounds like it could be a metaphor.
Sorry, I fell off my horse. Yeah, and did damage question. And really that impeded me from being, that was an impediment for me to join any sports teams in high school.
How old were you?
I was 12. Oh. Yeah, and so I missed all kinds of sports. I did go on the bowling team, and you know I was able to do that because you know that doesn't take as much pounding on your knees and create a lot of problems. And you know back then, doctors wouldn't have prescribed a medication to a teenager for the pain in the leg, which developed into arthritis, right? And so that's what I lived with. And then in my 50s, it was so bad. And I finally decided to go and ask the doctor to refer me to a specialist, and found out the specialist basically said to me, "You won't be doing any of the exercise programs. You won't be getting a brace. You're not going to get cortisone. We're going right to surgery." And I was like, "What? There were steps here that I should have been, you know, had I known that, right? Yeah. Had I paid attention to that, I probably would have been able to do a lot more before that." But I will say that that was a medical miracle for me to have that surgery, to have two surgeries done in a 6-month period.
And when was that?
It was in 2017. It was amazing. I got
less
a trainer.
Pain, able to walk.
Right. I got a trainer. I had a physiotherapist. I trained to get ready to do pre-op and everything else. You know, and I just realized I have to back up to one thing, because in 2013, when we were going to go on a sabbatical, we wanted to walk the Camino, remember? And thought, I don't know how I'll be able to do that. But I did have a trainer, and she worked with me from January to July, and then we headed off, and I was able to finish 250 kilometers, yeah. Right? Killed the other knee, though. That was the one thing, right? So
that's why you needed double.
That's why I needed the double eventually, because, of course, once your one is not useful,
rely on the other one.
You rely on the other one too much, right? But, that was very helpful for me to get a trainer. I agree with you. I think that kind of changes your attitude. The second thing that I had to have, I realized, too, is I had to be around people my age, because first I started out at a place where there's so many young, fit men and women who, you know, walked around with half dressed, and you know, it was really hard, right? As an older person who's barely walking, to be in a room full, to be the oddity, right? To be the minority, right? Person. And so I will say, like we went to the refit, right? And that was a place where I could say, okay, I'm on an equal playing field here for this. But as a result of going there, the exercise program changed, as Rick said too, that it changed depending on what was happening in our life, right? And you know that from our experiences there, right? You know, I go to more classes and stuff.
This is kind of a depressing topic for me, I realize. One of the reasons is that, and I think all of us to some degree have genetic predispositions towards activity, physical activity. And I was a perpetual motion machine all of my life, until about 6 years ago, when I fell off the horse,
metaphorically speaking,
and lost my balance and couldn't walk. I played squash, I played tennis, I played every sport there was, and just loved it. But now, so I'm very sympathetic to seniors who have chronic health conditions that predispose them not to be able to exercise as much as they would like or should. So balance difficulties, reduced muscle strength, which I can still work on. You don't need balance for that necessarily. I don't think we should take it for granted that everybody's able to exercise. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we do. But there are impediments. Many.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we're saying that people should exercise. I think we're just talking about our own experience with exercise. And I do think that it is really, it's individual where we are, for sure, with exercise and what it means to us and whether we do it or not. Mm-hmm. I think some of the research shows that older people who do get out, even walking on a regular mm-hmm. basis, it has health benefits. And those health benefits are appear to be sort of better mobility, better, which is what you do, Jack. You do a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. And just a better well-being, because often when we walk outside, that's two benefits. You're out in outside and in nature, and you're also moving. Mm-hmm. But I think there's one thing, it's the loss of mobility and having to shift your thinking and shift other things. And it's another thing to just not be motivated. Mm-hmm. You're very motivated to
move. Yeah, one of the impediments, I think, as you get older, especially in your 70s, I'm experiencing, is motivation mm-hmm. and lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And so how do seniors mm-hmm. get themselves motivated to go ahead and exercise? Mm-hmm. Often I think one of the factors that is lacking for me, because we've moved so often, is companionship in doing that.
That's
I
a
remember
big one.
I used yeah. to, with Signe, yeah. try to get her to go out and run with me. But I didn't need it, right? I just ran like crazy.
Yeah.
The one time... this was in Camrose. I was near a sports field and I was running and I went and lay in the field and did some stretches on my back, I think it was. And someone came along and said, "Are you okay?"
Oh, yeah. 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 No. Yeah. Yeah. You yeah. need help.
Yeah. 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 I must have yeah. looked pretty contorted and feeble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
But you're right about motivation and companionship. Yeah. I totally agree with you, because we tried. The biking thing worked for a number of years, but it always was like I could never get up. I didn't have the same capacity as Rick did yeah. To
when
be able
you
to cycle.
Have different levels of... It's the same with us walking. Jack walks a lot slower than I do, so yeah. I have to... In order for me to get the exercise mm-hmm. I need, I have to go quite fast.
Yeah, and the
and
same
can.
Thing. Yeah, the same thing
so
with us.
So it's different when you have two different levels.
Although I have to say, I have taught you how to do stretching, which you never included in your...
I was always very flexible. Yeah. Yes. Stretching.
And he found some companionship in that thought, too. We had a person we knew that was a doctor and was a very good runner, as you know, like Rick is mm-hmm. was at that time. And I said, "Oh, well, you know, it helps if you have stretching." And he looked at me and he said, "I don't do any stretching." And I was like, "Oh, boy, now he and Rick have companionship around not stretching
yeah.
and they go out and do these runs."
Yeah, but the companion thing, I mean, you know, because of all the running I do, and now some of that's translated to cycling, I still find, like you say, Jack, it's important. I've always found it was easier to be motivated to get out and run if there was someone else to run with. When I was mm-hmm. running on my own, which was quite a bit at times, did it sometimes because I wanted to, sometimes it just felt more of a chore.
Right.
But when you know someone else is there, it gets you moving. Same with cycling, too.
And that's why the ReFit is so great
yes.
for me, because there are other people who are as slow as me. For example, I would love to start running again.
Yeah.
And I think I need to get a personal trainer for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I'm worried about balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to run a little bit on the track because it's padded, it's easy mm-hmm. on the legs, and do a slight jog to music that I'm always mm-hmm. listening to.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm doing my slight jog, I have people passing me who are walking.
Yeah.
I go, hold it, am I really running here?
I know. And I think if you're, one of the things I learned by being at the Refit is if I can get a trainer, it's somebody who has some extra training in geriatric exercise.
Exactly.
So, for example, I took a balance class with one of the staff there.
Recently.
Yeah, and she was fantastic, and she's working on some geriatric extra training in geriatrics, right, and exercise and stuff. And so if I was going to be doing something like learning how to run again, that would be the person I'd go to, right?
Well, I'll have to get the name from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's one thing that I really made a difference for me is to recognize that they have some extra training in the
that's important.
In the seniors area.
And in the literature where it talks about change and motivation, because if you start an exercise routine, that's a new habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a new habit and something that you have to integrate into your life that wasn't there before. And so all of the change theory around how you actually do that is applies here. And one of them is, you know, setting goals for yourself. And for example, I have I don't know what I have now, if it's osteoporosis or osteopenia anymore. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do to keep your bones healthy is a little different. And so doing intervals, so sprinting for as fast as you can for 30 seconds and then walking 30 seconds and sprinting again is something that apparently triggers your bones to say, oh, we need to keep this bone mass here. And I was learning that from an expert out of Australia. And the other thing is using weights that are so heavy that you can only do 6 to 8
reps
comfortably, so that you are really putting your muscles to work.
Rather than the lightweight,
and
doing
longer.
20.
Yes. So it depends on your goals, and it depends on sort of getting the right information for meeting those goals. So if I want to keep my bone mass, that's what I try to do in the gym: is the intervals and the heavy weights, but yet I still have a need to do cardio. So it's a matter of mixing
balance.
It up. But goal setting is an important part. And starting slow and small is an important part.
Yeah. I think one of the things that, Jack, and this goes back a bit to what you were referring to, is if we go into exercise and start making comparisons with others, that can be a disincentive. Because there's always going to be someone who's stronger, faster,
thinner.
I mean, for me, a real exercise disincentive is if I was forced to go into group aerobics classes, because I cannot keep those movements straight. I just don't seem to have the mental coordination to do that. It would be so frustrating.
Well, I've tried some of the groups at Refit,
right,
and I couldn't do it.
No,
I didn't have the balance to do it.
Yeah,
and that was frustrating.
Or the coordination. That's what I found. It was the coordination. I'm, you know, uncoordinated
with feet and
almost.
Hands, because they got the whole body going.
And they figured out the moves already.
Yeah.
You know, when they hear the instructor blow out a term or something, they know exactly
the
what to do.
And I think that's what happens is when, for me anyways, you get into those groups, and then all of a sudden, if you're not making the moves right like everyone else, you start making comparisons. And then that's just a real disincentive to try and stay there. So there's a certain individualistic aspect to this. I think everyone, that goes to what you're saying, Sydney. You have to sort of go with what works for you.
What works for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's become really integral for me is listening to music.
Yeah.
And I've got two things on my Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
One is walking and one is walking fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I've categorized the music to those because I something with a heavy beat.
Yeah.
And I walk to it.
So you move faster.
I move faster. Ah. Well, and then I move faster yet again. Well, I don't move very fast ever, but I've got another one that is walking faster.
Yeah.
And so, that's really helpful.
So the play does help a lot. Then.
Because of the what's it called when you have a thump continuously?
The rhythm?
The beat.
The tempo or beat. Yeah, tempo.
The tempo and the beat, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And that's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, again, I think that goes to trying to explore all the alternatives and maybe try something new. But if it doesn't work, don't quit. Try to go to something else. That's kind of worked for me to some degree. But.
Yeah, and I was listening to a person at a presentation this past week on foot care, right? But one of the things that this presenter mentioned to us was that there are strong changes in our feet physiology, mm-hmm. as we age, right? Our feet, they don't grow bigger, but they change, right? So that changes, right? Your body mass changes, your balance changes. We experience many more changes to our physiology as we go over, you know, going towards 50 and over, right? There's this movement that changes in our body. And we can pretty much do all those things when we're younger, and then suddenly that physiology changes and we have to adjust to, yeah. that, right? That we have to, you know, we start losing muscle, we get osteoarthritis, we get arthritis, we get diabetes. You know, those are part of that older aging part of that process too, right?
Well, I have a theory, that, and let's check if it's true or not, mm-hmm. that our capacity for avoiding exercise is almost infinite. There's no end to the number of reasons we can come up with to not exercise.
Yeah. Did you call that a hypothesis? No. Whatever you called it, no. Yeah. I totally agree.
So habituation is very important.
Yeah.
Developing a habit and a schedule, and bloody well sticking to it, because there's nobody pushing us to do it, or
right.
So deviating from it is real easy.
But that's why having a trainer for a while, yeah. is helpful. Yeah. I was doing some research on how long it takes to develop a habit,
mm-hmm.
and it can take. It depends on it. Just the answer is it depends.
Yes,
because it depends on how complex the behavior is that needs to be changed, or how complex it is to actually get it integrated into your life. It can be anywhere from 12 days to almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Or years, even when you think about people who give up smoking, right?
Right.
That they, you know, they don't just stop cold turkey. I mean, they, yeah. still have to deal with the craves for months, years,
exactly.
whatever, right?
Exactly.
And that's the same thing with, exactly. with exercise, right?
Yes.
And the point about a trainer is, I think if someone is starting anything, we've talked about this over breakfast at times, you need to get the expert advice, and a trainer is one. So you don't just dive into something and want to try something and do it all wrong and get injured or get frustrated, you know. So, you know, we talk about, you need to talk to people who have expertise in that area, or expertise, even check with a medical doctor first before you're yeah. starting out. Yeah.
And wasn't there something about medical doctors in Manitoba now being able to prescribe exercise?
Yep, prescribe exercise or walking in a park. Yeah. That's now, you can now get a prescription for that. So I think it's kind of around the mental health issues, mm-hmm. that people are experiencing, mm-hmm. like anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things. I'm not sure what all of that prescription ability covers, but it would be good to talk to a doctor about that, because mm-hmm. if that's now part of the medical system.
Yeah. And I wonder the degree to which assertion.
Yeah.
Mental health and exercise go together.
Yes, they do.
I don't know who said this, but you can't be depressed if you exercise.
Mm. Mm.
It's really hard to be depressed and exercising at the same time.
But it's also, I think it was in one of the write-ups about this aging week, they used that term, mobility and cognition are a team.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really love that language, because that fits what you're saying, yeah. Jack, that mm-hmm. you can't do one without the other.
Well, and they're
No, you go ahead.
They're Jack and I heard a radio program of a psychiatry resident who was talking about exercise as a first line of prescription for people who were struggling mm-hmm. with their mental health, maybe in conjunction with prescription, maybe not, just depending on. Mm-hmm. And it is, and I think we're finding that in many cases where there are health issues, exercise is one of the things that mm-hmm. improves that. Mm-hmm. I love reading, used to read a lot of stories about people who started running and then were able to get rid of their cholesterol drugs and their blood pressure drugs and all of the things that mm-hmm. they were taking. Running helped to improve their functioning to a point where they no longer needed those medications. And
okay.
those,
I'm gonna start running.
Those are yeah. impressive kinds of things that exercise does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and the prescription idea brings to mind that it doesn't have to be all heavy duty working out in the gym stuff.
No.
I mean, the idea is, like they say, go walking, go doing yeah. things even in the outdoors. Because some people feel intimidated. The idea of joining a gym is like, oh my gosh, I'm not going there with those people.
Yeah.
Or intimidating to say starting even with a group, a walking group, a running group. Some people go, I'm not going to do that. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, if you're not a group person.
That's right, yeah. yeah. Some people are more individualist.
And I was going to mention this habituation issue again yeah. on a personal basis. We tend to, after supper, or even we have our supper downstairs in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I, oddly at times, I look forward to that evening of relaxation, because my routine is trying to exercise in the morning when metabolically I'm active. And the afternoon after lunch, I just go down like a
yeah.
shooting star. Mm-hmm. But the recommendation that you should never, after a meal, just sit.
Yes.
But go for a walk.
Yeah.
Now, that's easier said than done
yes.
because of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're almost in October, and November there'll be snow on the ground, and there'll be ice and snow, mm-hmm. and it's just not easy. So we're very privileged, I think, and touch wood, that we have access to something like the ReFit. For us, it's within walking distance, but for others, they just don't have access to that kind of thing. So that's why these senior community resource centers
yeah.
are very important. Even something like chair yoga, which I've never done,
mm-hmm.
you know, while you're sitting in the chair, stretching and exercising
mm-hmm.
is important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when I broke my wrist in a biking accident, and the physiotherapist said to me, do you watch TV at night? I said, not really. I tend to read a book or whatever. Well, he said, what about movies? And I said, oh, yeah, I like movies. He said, put a movie on. And he said, get your set of weights next to you, your mm-hmm. reflex, your flexor.
Squeezers.
Yeah, and your
clamps.
And your clamps and your balls and, you know, everything else. And while you're doing the movie, do your exercises for your wrist improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that, you know, for about a six-week period, right? And it was just great, right? Because I was moving while
yeah.
watching the TV.
It's
right?
just hard yeah. to eat popcorn when you're working out and watching a movie. But yeah.
You could lift the bowl up and down.
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we are also privileged because mm-hmm. we have a dog. And so as soon as we have supper and as soon as the dog has supper, then we're on our way out the door, right?
Yeah.
For a walk in the evening.
Need to go for a walk, yeah.
And so we rarely say no, only one person out to walk the dog. We mostly go both together in the evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
yeah,
the,
we
that's
have
a
to
good
get in that habit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just
yeah.
getting
especially
up.
Especially now that hockey
we
is
were
beginning
talking.
And baseball
yeah.
playoffs are beginning.
You could be in front of the TV for hours.
Yeah,
on end.
Just
yeah.
glued to the TV.
And that's, you know, that's really all it takes sometimes. Is
yeah.
Just going for a walk. And I don't want to say to people you should have a trainer and that's all you can do, because that's
yeah.
not true.
Yeah.
I think I found it helpful. I haven't had a trainer for a while and I can still kind of do things on my own. But there are just so many ways to be active and go for a walk or mm-hmm. call a friend to go for a walk, or if you ride a bike, just go for a bike ride. There are just so many things you can do that don't mm-hmm. take money, don't take equipment, mm-hmm. maybe a pair of runners, yeah. and that's it.
Yeah.
don't you buy a new pair of running shoes every birthday?
Every Mother's Day, I
buy. Mother's Day, yeah.
That's my gift to myself.
We have lots of running shoes.
Well, we used to have.
I won't go through them. I throw them out after they're worn out.
Well, we had lots of them around for Rick over the years because he always got them for his birthday in February, a new pair of runners to get ready for the next marathon in uh-huh. June, right?
Right?
And so it was sort of this pattern of life, you know, to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would wear my running shoes until they literally fell apart off my feet.
Well, then that leads to issues around the foot care, right?
Yeah.
Which is what I learned, you know, last week at this presentation on foot care, right? That your foot moves, you have a capacity for your arches to fall in your senior years, right? Which is causing this kind of a waviness in your bottom of your feet. It is just all those stuff that this guy was talking about. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I gotta remember lots of things about that. But he basically said to us that, you know, you need proper fittings for your footwear. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the shoe as much as it should be the insole. The insole is really important because that tells you, you know, that's the part that touches the rest of your foot.
Well, we both got orthotics how many years ago?
Many, many years ago.
10 years ago or
20.
Or more, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But I don't wear them anymore and I seem to be fine.
Fine, okay.
Because I don't notice I'm imbalanced anyway.
I wear mine all the time.
Yeah,
I wear mine too.
And when I've tried them lately, they hurt my instep.
Okay, yeah, they're putting pressure on there. Yeah,
so I'm not used to them. So I guess I've got fallen arches and learned to live with it.
Yeah.
No, or get a new insole. Like see a foot care doctor, nurse, and they get you the insole and they actually fix it. Like they can cut it
size it
to your feet and everything, and where your soft spots are, where your hard spots are. I mean, it's a scientific experiment, actually, experience in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. To get your shoe fit to get your insole fit into your shoe, right? But it might be worth the $50 that you have to pay for that set of insoles, right?
Mm-hmm. But it takes time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Away from the TV.
Away from the TV.
need to adjust the schedule of, and actually that can be a disincentive if we're in some kind of a routine that we enjoy, which doesn't include exercise. To include it then means often you have to sacrifice or adjust things and. The joke I always make is, well, change is hard, right?
Change is hard, and it takes several stages. So there's the whole, you think about it for a while, and then you start to make some changes to maybe make it happen, and then eventually you sort of get it incorporated into your schedule and start making it happen.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. at every point of that, you can relapse and stop making it happen, mm-hmm. and it just... You know, it's really hard to start a new activity or put a new thing mm-hmm. in your life. One of the things that happened this year for me is that my granddaughter went into grade one. So instead of going over there to help with the kids at 8:30, I'm there at 7:30. And then mm-hmm. from there, I can just, the refit is half a block from my daughter's house. Mm-hmm. So then I've started to just walk to the refit from there and then walk home when I'm done, and I'm done by 10:30 or 10.
Mm.
And which is a better schedule for me because then I still have some things, time in the morning that I can still do stuff. Mm-hmm. So
I was reading something.
That was a good...
I was reading something this morning. You said you're there by what time?
7:30.
That's pretty early.
Mm. But it is.
I was thinking, I was reading this article about sleep, which is important to me because I tend to have trouble sleeping using a CPAP machine. But they were saying in this article that you should absolutely keep a routine when you go to bed and when you get up. Mm. Keep that the same all the time. And don't let staying up late interrupt that routine. Go to bed when you need to go, when you... are scheduled to go to bed.
Which and is what happens on your iPhone or your iWatch, right?
Well, I need to get smartwatch. One because now with hockey beginning, and it's I'm an Oiler fan, so that's out west.
Late.
An hour difference.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's even worse than that when they're on the West Coast. Uh-huh. It's 2 hours difference. So I'm up until midnight and then can't get to sleep because you're watching hockey, which is perpetual motion. And so I'm going to start setting my alarm in the morning.
Okay.
And maybe get a watch that tells me it's my sleep time is here.
Mm-hmm. You have a sleep mode app. Is right in the health app on an iPhone.
Yeah. And on that, other smartwatches will do the same.
Yeah, they'll all do the same, right? And so it's, what time do you want to go to bed at night? So say I say 10:30. At 10 o'clock, I get a little message. 30 minutes will be yours.
Oh, beautiful. You have to show me how
it's
to
just like having
up.
Your parents when you were little.
Yeah, that's right.
30 minutes to bedtime.
Warning. 30-minute warning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If I turn my iPad on or my phone on before 7 a.m., it says sleep mode in very large print on my phone. It says sleep mode. And
in other words, you're sleeping.
You should be sleeping. Because I was awake at 5 this morning, right?
Oh, okay.
And so from 5 to 7, I had sleep mode on the top of my iPad, right? I thought, you're just a nag.
Well, Jack, one solution for you is if the Oilers play like crap, then you won't want to watch them anymore. You'll just go to bed. So
they're probably going to make a deep run again.
And along with the Jets for a bit. And then.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me, too, in terms of motivation was having Sirius XM. Because then I could listen to the games in the evening and exercise after supper rather than sit down in front of the damn TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to
other approaches. Yeah.
8880, I think it is, that carry the Oiler games.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Okay. Like one of our sons has a Peloton, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
the bike. Mm-hmm. And that's what they decided to do, was to do that because it enabled them to watch things or do things.
Yeah. And then it'd be so angry listening to the play-by-play, I'd just run like hell.
Yeah, kind of get you all revved up. That's true, too. So it has that benefit as well.
So there's a motivation.
That reminds me of an old story. I traveled with this person once, and as she was talking, well, she was the driver, right? And as she was talking, if she got excited with the topic, she sped up.
Oh, no.
So I was always trying to find things to keep her calm so we could slow down. So I'm thinking about you on a bicycle, Jack, and thinking, oh, my gosh, we'll have to be calm here, you know. So, you'll have to listen to, what is that, Trevor Dineen's co-show? He's a co-show.
Now or never.
Yeah. They interviewed a fellow who was once a Leafs fan and how he's detached himself from that because of all the anger that he had.
Have to be,
So there you go.
Well, decades of darkness.
Yeah, exercise can help with anger management too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So
are we kind of at the point where maybe, I guess the bottom line is, we believe, and all of the research seems to support that exercise in older age helps mm-hmm. with all kinds of things. And whatever way you can find to incorporate that into your life is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exercise that I had a doctor once say, well, the best exercise is the one that you do.
Mm-hmm. good
And I think, on that note, that's...
Move more and sit less.
Move more and sit less. But
thanks for spending this time with us on Seniors in the Building. If you enjoyed today's conversation, we'd love for you to follow us. Join our growing community. And keep sharing in the stories, wisdom, laughter, and life as seniors. Until next time, stay curious and seek hope. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by Seniors in the Building, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. You can also leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design, and Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input and the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love.